Hi, Nina.
Hey, Olivia.
What's up? How are you feeling?
Pretty crazy, per usual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Summer is brewing. The leaves are changing.
They're green.
How do you feel? Are you a fan of the summer?
You know, not really. I mean, am I supposed to say yes?
No, you just need to give me something.
Oh, yeah. It's a little too hot. I mean, today is like a particularly hot day. I feel like we've been in a better phase. I like the mid-range temperature, but once it's 87, it's over. And it's 87 degrees out today, so fucking yeah. Sucks.
You have a specific enemy that rears its head in the summer.
Flies, dude. I'm really worried about the impending fly infestation. I don't know if you noticed, but I got a net.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, I'm planning to do some sort of netting situation, but I'm already seeing them inside, so I don't even know.
What sort of like armed forces are you getting ready to put up?
Well, so last year, sort of the final solution, if you will, was this like bag of like disgusting fly juice that attracts them, and then they get trapped in it and dissolve, and then the smell attracts other flies, and so it's like other flies become trapped. And
did you bring in fly bodies for that?
No.
How did you get the original juice?
The original one, just I think the juice smells good to them, and then they all
What is the juice?
I don't know. You fill up the bag with water, and there's some sort of chemical already in it, and
there's like a mock fly body chemical.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it creates real fly bodies.
Absolutely horrific,
which then breeds more fly bodies.
They dissolve in it like acid almost. Because now what we have is last year's fly bag that we have to deal with, which is disgusting. I literally don't know what to do with it because it's like 100.
Wait, you still have the corpses?
Okay, let me know if you have any ideas, because it's again a bag filled with liquefied flies, probably like 5 million liquefied flies.
6 million?
Yeah, no. Oh, it's close on that one. 5 million, 6 million flies, one might give or take for excluding
the
game.
Yeah, well, the numbers are blown anyway.
Yeah, well, I think, was it just Jews in that figure? What did they include the others?
I think
those just the Jews. Okay, right. Well, so it's not quite as bad.
Gypsy flies in there?
Probably.
What are those, caterpillars?
We're bleeping that.
That's us. Come on, we can still have that.
Either way, yeah, so the top doesn't seal, so I don't really know what to do with it. I had a former coworker who actually was in this conundrum, spilled it on her shoes. seemed like absolute trauma, and I just like don't want to deal with it. It's totally a man's job. Sound off in the comments if you think a man should have to deal with that and should do it today or tomorrow.
Someone needs to boof the fly bodies.
It can't be me.
Cool. Well, I was kind of working on a theory about, I mean, certainly I'm not the first one to say this, but maybe I'm the first one to say it with flies as the segue, but about sort of summer. Summer is a precursor to chaos.
Yeah.
I was thinking about your fly situation. I was thinking about the brewing protests that have been happening, thinking about how last summer there was a summer of protests, but if you might take a walk down memory lane back to a little 2023, you could recall that the protests of last summer were not about Israel, not about Palestine, not even about Black people, but about the Writers Guild.
The Writers Guild was a big one.
I know. People were really out there caring about that, which honestly, it was a very valid issue, but it feels so quaint.
They didn't even get their deal.
They
it was
got
all for
something.
No.
They got some.
The AI thing is still very much on the
they
table.
They settled. They got well, here's to hoping that this next one ends up so good and awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be talking about all the impending political turmoil that comes with the summer, with our balmy weather. We're going to be talking about the student protests about Gaza blowing up around America. We have a hot, hot, hot interview with someone on the ground floor of that. So excited for that. And we are going to be talking about the film Civil War, which sort of teases a near future in which things are fucking nuts, and if we think that's legit or not. So stay tuned for a wild ride. Get your fly juice ready. Let's go.
Apocalypse.
Wow.
Hello, I'm a. You always go first. You always go first. That's why I did. to go first. You always do it.
I'm Olivia.
Yeah, you're Olivia.
I'm Olivia.
Okay. And I'm Nina.
And this is Apocalypse.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, so very special, exciting treat. We have someone from the ground to share their experiences with all of the riots and turmoil, Antifa massacres and such that have been happening. And we are very excited to hear about the scene at these rambunctious student protests. We have friend of the pod and beloved scholar Eva here to share some insight about Columbia, what's going on in New York. Hi, Eva. Thank you for braving the outside to come and talk to us.
Hi, Eva.
Hey. Hi, how are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for coming. We're good. We are chilling in Philadelphia. How have your last few weeks been? And like, I guess, talk a little bit about your relationship to the institution of Columbia / Barnard and like what it's been looking like there. Because we'll talk about how it's been. But yeah, it's not holding a candle to New York or Atlanta. You guys are kind of holding it up for us. Yeah. So.
And not LA. So
yeah, UCLA like, is
those
popping
ones
off.
Seem crazy. And Cal Poly out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it's been a roller coaster. I can't say enough how proud I am of the students and how incredibly, like, committed and badass they are. And also just, like, well-organized and friendly and, like, genuinely caring for one another. I'm a staff member and I'm also an alum. That's my relationship to the institution. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of been ongoing. I mean, the last 2 weeks have been the time when it has made it outside of like what they call like the bubble of Columbia. But it's been going on for pretty much this whole semester and last, basically beginning October 7th. Wow. That students have been expressing their solidarity with the people of Palestine and asking the school to examine its financial relationship with the Israeli military and the Israeli government and all of the sort of military-industrial complex behemoths that do business with Israel, and asking the school to divest. And the school, like all of the worst influencers, instead of just like ignoring something, they just like could not leave it alone and just kept making it worse. And like,
yeah, they're like, why are you guys fucking mad at us? We're doing exactly, so much for you. You don't like exactly. this? You don't like these crumbs? We're giving you these opportunities to pay us $80,000 a year, you little bitch.
Exactly. Yeah. So then they were like, trying to like quote unquote investigate students who were participating in protests, mm-hmm. and like they were trying to implement new surveillance technologies. They were hauling people up in front of these bizarre fake disciplinary hearings that
Disciplinary hearings,
yeah, mostly for residential purposes, because or like that's how they disguised it. Like, for example, a student with whom I have a professional relationship sure. of like consistent communication was, she was supposedly at one of these protests that was very disruptive to the dormitories. So then she had to go to 8,000 like weird meetings where they told her that she was violating dormitory policies, when the whole time, actually the day of the protest that they said she was at, she was actually at work at her like work study job, which is how I know her, and she was there. The point being, it's been going on since like October in sort of a more quiet way that didn't like breach to the outside. But the last 2 weeks, it really did, because after like months of just being like openly repressed by Columbia, the students launched the first Gaza Solidarity encampment on the East Lawn outside Butler, which is like the big library at Columbia that has all of these authors' names carved into it that are like the core reading requirements at Columbia. It's so spooky. And it looks like a jail. And that encampment went up and it was really phenomenal. I was there the first day walking in the picket with a lot of other staff, faculty, and students who were supportive. It was a hot day. Everyone was mm-hmm. tired, but it was really lovely and like yeah, it was just really lovely. And then, of course, nothing like good can last. And again, Columbia couldn't leave it alone. So they called the police, which was wild.
How long after? Did it last a day before they called the cops?
The first Solidarity encampment was there for maybe 18 hours. No, it was like 30 hours. It was like one day and then a half a day. And then they brought in the NYPD, which was wild because the last time the NYPD was there was 1968.
Wow.
And yeah.
That's kind of unfathomable.
And, yeah, I know. They've been really keeping bridging that part of Harlem that they're not allowed to go to.
They're on good terms.
Columbia is the biggest private landowner in the city. So, yeah. And, you know, I've thoughts about that, but which it was the first time they'd been on campus since 1968. In 1968, they arrested like 700 people who were occupying a bunch of buildings. So the first Gaza Solidarity encampment, there were 108 arrests.
Okay.
And then literally immediately as they were arresting the students, other students started flooding onto the next lawn. So the West Lawn, and then the West Lawn Gaza Solidarity encampment was the one that lasted like over a week and a half. That was the one that was then became increasingly the targets of distorted, bizarre media campaigns that were totally like abetted by the university, that somehow it was a violent protest or that it was anti-Semitic. I spent a lot of days sitting out there because they had really phenomenal academic speakers, actually, like every day. So I was there like most days to sit and listen to, like, Mark Lamont Hill came and spoke, who actually had a speaking engagement at Columbia, which he then canceled because of the way they were treating the protesters. So then he just came and did his speaking engagement in the camp, which was really fantastic.
Yeah, that's really cool. What is the vibe that I've been wondering? I feel like in the past years and in years past, like, schools have been an antagonizer, but even more so have been like random people who have like taken it as their life's personal mission to dismantle anti-Semitism on college campuses or whatever, and they're just like rabid and insane. Have you had any like interactions with like,
are there like
the outside randos?
Defenders coming in
because they're
to
all
protect the
I
Jews?
Mean, I know that there are Zionist picketers, like counter protesters, but like I'm wondering about the personalities.
That's such a good question. There's like the main face of the Zionist counter protesters at Columbia is a Columbia business professor.
Oh, hell yeah.
Really?
Wait, is it that little guy in the hoodie who got locked out? Is it that guy?
Uh-huh. It's the guy in the quarter zip, yeah.
Okay.
And of course it's a business school professor because it's like
how fucking embarrassing
he's
to be
like,
a professor
the fuck is
being
business?
Like, I'm posted up here.
He's
don't worry, guys.
Glass.
I got this. Meanwhile, like professors, I don't think this was at Columbia, I just saw this, but like a professor of Jewish studies just got arrested.
Yes, at Dartmouth.
Yeah.
For
like being anti-Semitic by being at the protest. Like,
so true.
But thank you. Like, businessman.
Yeah.
No, it was so, he's so embarrassing, honestly. And like, just like as a person, like, sometimes when you watch like 2000s anime and like they do the parts that are like the parts that are so cringe that you feel like you have to mute the TV. Mm-hmm. That's like how I feel watching him.
So real.
Like, kind of embarrassing to use an anime reference to dunk on someone.
I mean, I get it.
I'll give you that.
That's how cringe it is.
You're traumatized.
So cringe.
Like,
you have to give a
you know, the like Naruto episodes that you were like, so like, I don't know. Anyway,
I don't.
Yeah, I'll be so
I
real.
Fuck.
You're talking to
a non-anime
crowd.
I like Totoro.
Listeners out there.
I have the Naruto makeup palette.
Oh,
I'm very proud of that.
Isn't you
it,
do
like,
ColourPop?
Yeah, ColourPop X Naruto makeup palette. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I know that one.
Just good to get colors. Where do you see this heading? Like, what do you think?
Okay, where do I see it's heading? This is a good question.
Yeah, what's your 5-year plan for your uprising?
This week has been so, I mean, it is unbelievable. Like, just now, before I got on this call, maybe like 2 hours ago, the Manhattan district attorney confirmed that an officer discharged their service weapon inside Hinds Hall, formerly known as Hamilton Hall, during the raid on Tuesday night.
Like a deadly weapon, or it's like a less than lethal?
Oh, like a gun.
Yeah. You never know. Or like a taser. Yeah. No, they have like the less like rubber bullets. Weapon
being the like the whatever it is that that they carry, that handgun.
A tradition they that they use to unalive people.
So
they're G-star N.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you not supposed to say gun on the podcast?
We need to stay monetized.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Oh, I see. No, we're kidding. I want you to be friendly to advertisers.
Only the gun lobbies give us money. So we're, yeah, we just take on more.
Yeah, oh, more gun. True. Okay, gun. Okay,
his special toy.
Yeah. So I honestly didn't see it going there. I mean, I thought the escalation to take the building was an excellent move on the part of the protesters. I think where this goes is a complete decimation of Colombia's relationship, honestly. Mm. Like, or sorry, reputation and its relationship with its like staff and faculty.
Yeah,
I've already been like I said, I'm already on my way out. I'm either going to take disability leave or I'm going to resign. I was CC'd on like 3 resignations today from people in like the library, people who are in alumni relations, people who are, just not there. And all of them say that they're embarrassed by Colombia. Yeah. And when I go online, finally people find Colombia embarrassing. I felt like I was taking crazy pills the last 2 weeks because I'd be like at the encampment and it would be like peaceful and normal. And then I would like go online and it would be like Colombia University set on fire by Nazis. And I'd be like, whoa, wait, I was just there.
Yeah, no, it's funny. On like a much smaller scale, I feel like the treatment that you and also like every school now is getting is the... I don't know if this is even appropriate to say, but it does feel reminiscent of like the vibe of going to Oberlin, where it's like we're just in a normal place and then we like go home and there's like a New York Times article about like kids throwing sushi or like at people because it's cultural appropriation, and it's like, oh, like good, it's actually
is that
embarrassing
a real story about
yeah
oh my god.
Bro, any sushi?
No, it didn't have, well, I do think there was like one person who was like, really, oh, you guys shouldn't sushi. Be serving
it was
sushi.
Really bad.
And then they're like, they are writing, they're putting the sushi up their ass, and they're saying they would rather eat bugs.
They're wrapping themselves in nori.
They're being human sushi, and they're telling people to eat them.
They're shoving
up
their ass.
So no, it's good
that is literally how it felt.
All college is embarrassing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Real. So from here, it's like, to me, Colombia's like golden goose is like, or the goose that lays the golden eggs, I guess, is commencement and then reunion. And like they both take place within a month of each other in May and June. And
really sidling right up to that. It's gonna be
which
nuts.
I actually think is part of what was so effective about, I mean, partially the first encampment went up the day that Shafiq was supposed to be appearing before the congressional committee that's investigating us for a rampant culture of anti-Semitism, which like, okay.
The most Jewish school ever.
I don't even know what to say about that. They like specifically cited this like bizarre event that Barnard had where they were like gonna have a dance party for unity, but like in a sixth grade dance kind of way where it's like all the lights on in the cafeteria, and it's like, yeah, true, that actually was, that was anti-Semitic in the sense that it was offensive to all human people.
Yeah, it was also like, homophobic and ableist because it was humiliating.
Exactly.
And it was a sex crime
to participate in. But yeah, so it went up that day, but then also just the fact that, yeah, it's butting up against commencement. And that is part of, I think, why Colombia was so brutal, is they really just like want the space to seem normal for all of their fancy special guests who come to commencement and reunion and then pay them a bunch of money. So at this point, I mean, the NYPD is still on campus. They're going to be there through commencement.
Boys which, in Blue, shout out.
Yes. And they sent us an email.
Yeah,
they sent us an email this morning. They being like my, the powers that be sent us an email this morning clarifying like which bathrooms the NYPD were allowed to use.
That weirdly also happened at my work. I don't know why they're like obsessed with letting cops use bathrooms.
Use the bathroom. room.
Maybe there's like a legal thing. No, it's not, because then our situation, like there was a fake anti-Semitism situation, and they were like, oh, we're gonna have the cops come for safety, and yeah, they'll be pee pee pooping, and it's like, like why is that like a part of the conversation?
They need to go around the corner. They need to be shitting in the street.
And then they politely declined. They were like, no, we're good, because it's like we're children. Like,
yeah, how
it's
long an after school program.
I think it would be pretty weird if there's just cops rolling up pissing.
I'm sorry, we need to be building latrines for police. We cannot be using regular human
toilet. I don't give a fuck. Like, I know, it was so weird. And they were like, and in case they have to tinkle, the following locations. I'm like, okay. Like, no, it's just like you said, the pee-pee poo-poo thing. Like, it's like
the pee-pee poo-poo police.
Fuck? Like, aww. What the fuck? All they do is play Candy Crush all day anyway, but whatever.
All right. This, so can't, hard to hate like, on that, though.
Playing Candy Crush on the toilet now, I guess, but like in the, like,
just like building. With their gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, with their gun.
Who's beating up a Jew? I'll get him. Just let me put my pants back on. Let me watch.
It's like, I don't know, throw a stone in literally any random direction and you will have hit a Jewish student. Like,
that's so true.
It's like Columbia.
And then he'll be like, the Palestinians did it.
Exactly. They're like, I saw a brown person
with a really big stone.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot to ask a university such as Columbia, with one of the highest tuitions and the largest endowments nationally, to make any sort of financial decision that might reduce their profit margins.
Yeah,
so we can understand.
Yeah, they've
one
of the highest paid presidents, you know? And like. Yeah,
they cannot afford to divest. They are just scraping by, Eva, you know?
Yeah,
they're barely making it.
Nobody
well, especially
even
now that the NYPD is using up all the toilet paper.
I know.
And then they're going to have to go to One Ply.
They're next year they're going to be like, sorry, kids, we lost our budget on the cops. Yeah, because they be shitting.
Because they be shitting. Yeah, so it's hard to say because, like, I mean, recently faculty passed a no confidence vote of the Barnard president, which is the first time that's ever happened in the history of Barnard.
Oh, that would be so humiliating to have someone vote in your that they're not confident.
No, literally, that like they just think are like, it's like if everybody you work with got together and got to vote on whether or not they would let you water their plants while you were out of town, and they all voted no.
It's not so much.
No,
you're not. Like, seen his garden. No. It sucks.
Yeah.
Well, I would vote full confidence in you.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
And you gotta get that bag when
it comes president
to
is the Barnard.
You gotta get the medical leave. You gotta get that bag. If nothing more comes of this, if not for the Palestinian people, perhaps at least for your own 90 days of medical.
Yeah.
I will be praying for you. I truly will.
Thank you. So, I mean, I hope more people resign or take leave, honestly. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of people hold on, and like even some like fellow organizers of mine were texting me being like, quitting doesn't do as much as you think it does. And I'm like, I don't know that I need to do anything right now. Like, I tried.
Right.
But also, it's like, I do think a mass expression of like complete disinterest, disgust, and embarrassment is brewing. And it's like coming in a few forms. Like, there's definitely like, I'm sure there's op-eds coming out. I'm sure that there are further votes and censure. They passed a censure for the Columbia president, which is the step before a vote of no confidence.
Damn.
I'm sure there's further censures, further votes of no confidence, op-eds, resignations. Honestly, just getting, oh my God, we've been getting dunked on Twitter.
Yeah.
The bowels of humanity are taking a fucking dump on us. It's pretty bad.
But it's good to just like, that's the, I mean, and I guess that's the larger convo, which maybe we'll continue after you log off, just like about the validity of student protests at all.
Yeah.
But which, like, I do feel like there's a lot of criticisms about, but I also think it's like good to have these institutions have their dick
tradition.
Out.
Yeah. And at least you're not in the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
At least there are real people who see you and care.
But I just think it's good for them to be like, oh yeah, like I'm actively the like boring old bad guy with my like head in the sand. Like I'm actively looking bad. And even if there's not a monetary gain, it's like good for these institutions to have to be embarrassed, which again, like, isn't much. But I do think it's good. It's like,
yeah, you're embarrassing. Yeah. And it's like frustrating that the New York Times and stuff gets to make it twist things and like act
it's
like
awful.
Y'all think like the New York Times. Fuck those people.
Yeah, for real. You know what? I agree though. Like, I do think that that's like sort of my hope is like, first of all, I do hope for divestment. I think that the demands are reasonable.
Mm-hmm. And it's worked in like, some schools. So it's like not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think BDS is like a very reasonable thing for students to ask for. So first of all, I hope the students get their demands. Second of all, I hope that this becomes a turning point where people become more aware and more interested in the way that money is spent in these huge educational institutions. Because I mentioned it earlier, like Columbia is the biggest landowner in New York City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they're trying to like spin all this shit about like outside agitators or whatever. And it's like, first of all, every single person arrested inside the hall was a Columbia affiliate with a Columbia University ID, first of all. But then also, I just don't think there's any such thing as like someone who isn't entitled to an opinion about Columbia. Like, there's no outsiders when Columbia has literally like edged out and bought all the land in the biggest city. Well, I guess LA and New York are the biggest cities in two different ways, but like in one of the biggest and one of the most culturally impactful and economically impactful cities in the country, they are not paying taxes on the land that they own, which they own as much land as the New York City Housing Authority. Like, I just don't see how they're like, I'm excited for everybody to start giving a fuck about the way that Columbia just dumps cash into like guns and shit like that.
Well, real talk though, a lot of their property, I feel like, I don't know. Did you know people growing up? I feel like I knew so many people growing up who were living in Columbia Housing who were not affiliated and who were like basically ghost leasing it. Like, they are not on top of their shit when it comes to that.
Oh, I agree.
We could take a look at their budget. I'm sure I could loosen up some change, figure it out for them. Yeah, you
could lean things out. How about they pay their freaking president like seven figures?
yeah. She needs it really bad. And she gets a
free apartment.
I know. Like, oh man. Yeah. Well, you know, she's a humble woman.
A humble woman who owned a bank or whatever.
Just scraping by. New York's an expensive city to live in. You know.
She's just girl bossing. She's just girl bossing the city.
Thank you so much, Eva.
Oh my gosh, of course. Thanks for having me and letting me rant a little bit. I hope that it contributed.
No, it contributed so much. It's so good to hear that. Like, just to hear a little bit in a more real way what's going on, and I'm really excited about what's been going on for you, and I wish you the best of luck in your forthcoming journey.
Yeah, get that bag, do not back down, litigate that shit if you have
make
to.
Make them pay.
90 days like, of pay.
I could just sue them for emotional distress.
I know. Yeah, I know. That would be a great class action.
I can't sleep. Every time I blink, I see the, like, ladder falling against the hall. Anyway,
you sound really unwell. Yeah. So it's on record. Yeah, right.
We'll give you a letter, Rack, if you need it.
Apocalypse in the courtroom.
For my New York State disability leave.
Any day.
We're there. Yeah.
And we'll help you file the full SSI claim if it comes to that.
Listen, I saw the cop hit you.
Yeah, it was really bad.
All right. Thanks guys so much. Have a great evening. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Insightful.
Yeah, well, what a great interview.
Yeah, it got me thinking about that Civil War. Got me thinking about ye old Civil War. If I'm being honest, I can't keep it off the mind.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this movie. You were so excited to see it. You were loving the idea.
Yes, I know, and I think this is like what gives me credibility because I will have critiques to come, and I want to put it out there. I think I saw the trailer in the theater and was like, I want to watch that.
You were then dying to see Civil War, I was like, I'm disinterested by it.
It was giving me the vibe in the poster of, this just came to me, of 2012.
Well, yeah, the poster is fucking, the poster's a direct, I feel, reference to, not 2012, but Cloverfield.
Another great, not-so-good movie.
But interesting, because those are environmental disaster movies, and now we're in the era of social disaster movies, which kind of have the same
vague social disaster.
Yeah, same way. It's like those were sort of global warming-esque, but like not really. And although, to be honest, I never saw Cloverfield.
Really? I watched it in like sixth or seventh grade.
Iconic poster.
Very anticlimactic, very bad. There was the one good thing where like the spiders gave this girl Ebola for some reason, and I was like very affected by that.
The spiders gave me Ebola.
But literally, you don't even get a peek at them. It was pretty bad. But Ebola was crazy, and that was very that was of crazy. The time. There was like an Ebola outbreak that like recently surrounded that. So it was mind for me.
You were scared you're gonna get Ebola from spiders?
Oh yeah spider, and she it was like Ebola. She got it like in the train tracks. It was very New York core, so that was also New exciting.
Bitches are always getting Ebola from train spiders,
literally. I know. It gave her a sexy scar on her back too, and then it was like kind of a sexy scene where she like revealed her like full back, and she had like a full scar like shoulder to lower back that was like this crazy giant spider bite.
Well, Civil War was a little different from that. I was not excited from it. I'm not really like a war movie fan. I thought it seemed a boring snooze fest.
It but is.
Well, we're not talking about our thoughts on it yet. We're doing a preamble. I'm a fan of Kirsten Dunst, obviously. Yeah. Love her.
Yeah.
So I was excited by that. And I like the director. He directed Alex Garland, I think is his name. He directed Ex Machina.
Great movie.
Great movie. Annihilation. Great cool, movie. Freaky movie.
Love that movie.
Men. Really weird movie.
Never saw it. Need
really
to.
Really strange and odd. It has like a guy's face superimposed on a bunch of different little boys and men, and it's like freaky, and then it has a crazy like body horror scene at the end where it's a man giving birth to a man, giving birth to a man, giving birth to a man. The like sort it's sort of like, oh bitch, shut up, you're so sexy. Like what it's saying is nothing and nonsense, but how it looks is so cool and crazy.
I think that can be said for this movie as well. I think we should touch on that we did come from that we experienced this film in two very different elements.
Sure. Yeah. Also, we haven't spoken about what we thought of it, so you don't even know.
I don't know what you think. I know what I think.
Yeah. All right. So you can talk about your viewing experience first.
Well, yeah. So Olivia saw it on the big silver screen. I saw it bootleg. There were like people sneezing. Someone kept getting up. Like I haven't seen a bootleg movie like this where it's like straight up. Usually when you see a bootleg movie,
like a camcorder in the theater.
Yeah. Normally it's like they download it from somewhere. This was like old school. They were like filming it in the theaters. Which
yeah. Usually it's just like a pop up of like someone's pussy. This time it was like fully a guy like dropping the camera
walking off during certain scenes that I would also walk off, and it was awesome. It kind of rooted me in it. I liked that it was like I felt like I was in the movies but I wasn't.
Yeah. Did you hear like any jokes? Did you hear people go
no, it was just sneezing and walking. The other weird thing is that like none of it was in Spanish, but for some reason the titles were like the titles card was in Spanish. It was good.
I have something to say about the title card too. That's in my notes. Horrible font.
You know,
it's just
I
like
didn't
little
get to
typewriter
see the font.
Oh, because it was too much Spanish.
It was like they didn't. It was just. I thought it was just what they. Put
no,
in
it's
in
just
Spanish.
Like regular typewriter font.
Yeah,
it looks
austere.
Stupid and dumb.
Yeah. Either way, one of my favorite movies of all time is Nightcrawler, featuring Jake Gyllenhaal, skinny. Love Nightcrawler. Thought it was like so good. So good. Either way, this movie was like if Nightcrawler was like without the point, like if they were like just doing like a like this is like a movie about like people who like news reporters and those who film the news, and like whoa, isn't it interesting that like you have to get to the scene of the crime and you're filming the news, and they had like no part about how like Jake Gyllenhaal is like a fucking insane freak crazy person. There was just something about it that was so disturbing of like Kirsten Dunst
you got it.
Yeah. Getting up in like people's faces as they were like dying heroically. And it was like, she was like, the photojournalists were the villains. It was like, y'all are like these totally uncommitted, ambivalent, like just like freeloaders who are just trying to get a story, get as much gore on cam as possible. That's all you want is gore. Oh, should we shoot these people?
Okay.
Should we shoot these people? Let's just fucking take a picture. That was the whole vibe. It was Nightcrawler without the essence.
Okay. That's
my
review. Say my thing.
All right.
I liked it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw that you said it was worth watching. I was like, okay. In our DMs, our group DMs, I should have edited it. It was not worth watching.
No, I think it was worth watching. I enjoyed it. I thought it went by really quickly, which I liked. I kind of thought I was going to be bored and it would drag on. I enjoyed the experience of watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for like, bitch, you already have me like on the defense. Yeah.
As you should.
I do think that, like, definitely lacking substance in some points, definitely like on the nose. For example, the male character, his whole thing of like, oh, horny for bullets, oh, literally making me hard. It was like, all right, we could like allude to that without just having him literally say it.
I mean, he was the closest to the Nightcrawler.
He was so hot. He was so hot. Okay, that was another one of my points. Are you kidding me? He was so sexy. Really hot main cast.
It was like the albino guy from Devs.
I don't know what these words are.
The fat old albino guy.
Oh, Kirsten Dunst. That guy, I'm not counting. No, that guy was not attracted to me.
Like a team of four.
Like, the like sexy, like ambiguously Latino guy with earrings and stuff. Hot. Yeah. Kirsten Dunst. Gotta give it to her.
Absolutely.
Enough.
Slaying in her 40s,
beautiful 50s. Little woman.
Yeah, I didn't like their relationship either. I found it irritating. I found the whole thing irksome, but continue.
Anyway, well.
Yeah, pull up them notes. Yeah, pull up those notes.
okay, well, one thing that really, really got me was the scene where like, the first scene where shit gets nuts, I guess, where they have the, like, opposing militia or whatever, the, like, really, it was hard to get your footing in what the fuck is going on. I will say that.
I know.
I was like trying to pay attention enough so I could talk about it. But so
they
there's
did
the
not explain it.
The FW, is that what it's called? The like the people that are kind of like the anarchist freaks, like the Florida, Texas, California contingent.
I think those were all separate contingencies.
No, that was the weird thing. It was together. Those were like seceding together, but they were like sort of the like anarchist people that are going against fucking the guy from Parks and Recreation,
yeah,
president
Nick Offerman.
Yeah,
then they were anarchists. It was
well,
like
they're not like
anarchists,
but they were like just Atlanta-esque. They were like the Antifa people. That's the vibe. What
they released.
Yeah.
So it was different in each place.
There's the Western forces.
Yeah.
California and Texas.
Okay, so California and Texas are together. Yeah. That's the Western forces.
Maoists.
Wait, who are the
Maoists?
Portland
Maoists is awesome.
Okay.
Never mentioned in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh. Ugh, yeah, I felt like they really did not
okay,
care
can I continue
to get
that?
Into that.
Well, yeah, and I do think that was in sort of like a Veep way, intentional to be like, oh, it could be from either perspective, which is like, all right, whatever, sort of like the fog of war, which was annoying, but fine. But anyway, the scene where those guys, the WF, the Western Forces, are like getting into it with the soldiers, and then they just start like executing them, and then there's this crazy fucking needle drop. It plays like the De La Soul song, and it's like,
oh, the fucking score in that movie was like,
it was a
outrageous
good score. Are you
I was
kidding
like
me?
Blood boiling,
no,
dude.
I've listened to that song like 3 times, only the first like 7 seconds of it, because it feels fucking good to be like, oh yeah, we have the bag on the head, we're shooting them, and I said it's so cool. I was grinning in there, I was smiling my face
god
off. I thought that was an awesome scene.
Yeah,
I would love to watch it again, that scene specifically.
What the hell?
The movie itself, I had a good time watching it, but yeah, not a ton for it to say. Although I think that Kirsten Dunst killed it. I think the ending felt earned. Like, I thought it was good the way that it worked out with that final seizing of the White House. That was like a little reversal of like, oh, now the good guys are the ones doing
it,
January
6th. That final scene reminded me so much of Nightcrawler. Where it's like, we're gonna get up and close and we're gonna get in his face, right, so we can record this guy dying. And I was like,
sure,
they need to compromise this somehow by like staging the president's death in a Nightcrawler way. Like, this is the thing that will bring the movie together. No, they
don't do that shit. I mean, obviously they're criticizing them. Obviously.
The photojournalists.
Yes, are you kidding me?
I wasn't sure at times, because it was like, I felt like it was a little bit of like a woman power, like women in the industry.
No,
like,
dude, they're obviously criticizing them. That's the whole thing. It's that is her like reason to die, that she's this person who's just coldly capturing the death, and she is like destined to become the death that's captured, and you know that from the beginning.
That's true.
When she's talking to the girl and the girl's like, oh, if I was shot, would you take a picture? And she's like, yeah, like, what am I gonna say? And then you know that she's gonna die and the girl's gonna take her picture, and she does.
Yeah.
And it's like, for the art, if you have, like, they talk about it, about their perspective of like, you have to give up the role to like do anything about it. You have to not be the person interfering with the subject. You mm-hmm. have to just capture it, and then that means the payoff. It's sort of like that, like Twilight Zone, like button, you know, like if you're gonna do something that affects people that you don't know, you're gonna become the person that someone doesn't know that they're gonna watch die and not do anything about.
Yeah, although I felt like her death, it wasn't as anonymous and cold as like the deaths that she had captured.
No, because she's true.
She ultimately didn't get the fate of like she got her photo taken as like, oh, look, this historical figure is dying, versus just like, oh, blood and guts, yippee. Like, but it just wasn't.
Because it was still for the photo. It was still for the photo.
Yeah, I suppose in the most cynical sense, which I appreciate.
That's certainly what the movie was saying, because at the end, did you see, as the credits were rolling, it like shows the picture of them all smiling with the president, like giving those like Guantanamo moments. Like, it's like they have the president's dead body and they're like grinning with it. Like, it's and that's like the black and white picture that she takes after. Like, it's supposed to say that these people are cold and callous, and that like society has created them as such,
and like essentially anti-revolutionary, where it's like they were kind of like, it's like in shedding light, like what story are you even trying to tell?
But that's what she says. She says like, I'm not telling a story. And she gets a little upset about it, because she's like, there's that line where it's like, I you know, did this abroad so it wouldn't happen here. And then it's like showing that any sort of like abroad documentation or whatever to be like, oh, I'm shedding light on this horrible thing that's happening in this other country is like a farce and doesn't do shit. And a lot of like documentary style art about people that we're othering does not help and doesn't do anything, and it is just voyeuristic.
You know, I didn't give the movie enough credit where I assumed
maybe
it was
because you're
stupid.
Watching people sneezing and stuff.
Maybe because you
because you don't fucking pay for art.
Listen, I didn't want $15. that's a high price. I mean, I still think Jake Gyllenhaal would have done a better job. No hate to Kirsten Dunst, but
it was a different
movie. No, if he was a photojournalist in this movie, they could have done a Nightcrawler 2, and it's like him trying to get like,
we gotta talk about this without talking about Nightcrawler.
The entire time I watched it, I was like, this is so Nightcrawler, so crazy.
I think it's just like Nightcrawler. Similar in that they're breaching similar subjects. Yes, I do think that
I wanted
true.
Them to go further, to hit it really on the nose, you know.
No, I don't think that would have been affected if they were like staging things, because I think part of it, well, no, I think it's a good point, but I think the difference is that in Nightcrawler it was like, this guy's a psycho, you know.
Yeah.
And in this they weren't, they thought they were doing good, and then they realized by being in the thick of it, they're like, oh shit, A, like I brought this girl into it and maybe that was bad, and B, like we are not helping anyone and we're doing this sort of like fucked up thing that's causing our friends to die.
I felt like the younger girl though, I mean, maybe it's implied like afterwards that she like develops like a sense of understanding, but first of all, so random and weird. I don't feel like we should get too much into like the random scenes in the movie, because like whatever, but like there's the scene where they run into a comrade, if you will, like someone that this Asian guy knows. Yeah, they run into the Asian guys who are like straight up Chinese, I guess.
That's from Hong Kong.
Yeah, so like
they're allowed to be Chinese. Some people are.
They're from Hong Kong. Either way, they are like, one of them jumps into the car. They like go through the window.
That was weird. That
it was like, what
that.
The hell? She was like, one of these guys goes into the car with like Kirsten Dunst, the albino guy, the Latino guy, and the liberal arts school girl. And the liberal arts school girl, who's like new, who like has already been freaking out, who like isn't even supposed to be there, who's like on thin ice basically, is just like, oh, I want to do that too. And like just gets, it's like complete strangers.
She saw it as a situation to prove herself.
It
she
was
like
so
getting
random.
Comfortable. The other guy loved it. The guy with the earrings was like, oh, she's so crazy. And it was like her being like, oh, I can pal around with the big guys. Like she had her first moment of trauma, and then she's like, oh, I'm gonna just like be adventurous. Kirsten Dunst hates me because like I'm not adventurous enough, so I'm gonna show that I can like fuck around and find out. And then
they met Kirsten Dunst's
husband, and he was so scary with those red sunglasses. You know, that's her real life husband, Jesse Plemons.
That's cute. Yeah, that's cute. Yeah, well, she got like every person of color, except not really. She got both of the Hong Kong guys killed.
Almost every, and the black guy also died from.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was like a 3 body count for like literally the most like childish, random.
Although I think they were going in that direction anyway. They just got there quicker.
Whatever. Yeah, it was like totally stressful and nothing. And then it's like, she should have been shot. She should have been shot.
I don't understand. But you think you have to like agree with everything a character does to like a movie?
No, I think I just think I didn't. I didn't fuck with the vibe. Like I feel like if I were to set out to tell a movie about a civil war in America, I would make it more about like, why is the civil war happening in America? Not like, oh, like, what are the ethics of documenting a civil war in America?
Also, maybe that's not what the movie was about. Maybe the movie was about what are the ethics of documenting a civil war in America.
Yes, I've heard that take. The other thing is that like, they're sort of documenting the civil war as like this totally like, it's like giving like fucking like, honestly, Planet of the Apes 3 is like a more nuanced perspective where it's like these people are just like, war is hell, people are evil, and it's just like all sides are chaos, all sides are bad, and it's like, which is so stupid. And also like in the one country where like our most recent civil war was like for very good reasons that people would understand, and so it's like there's a precedent in this country for us to have civil wars for like pretty legit reasons. So to present it as something that's like,
I don't think it was
nothing,
saying that the reasons don't matter, or I
think
was,
they were presenting all sides as evil. I think they were saying like all sides are bad.
It was very violence bad, but I don't think it was like, it was like about being in the throes of violence. I don't think it was like the cause is irrelevant, but not necessarily the cause is stupid. Like we're assuming. Well, that was the another thing that I wrote in my notes where the Kirsten Dunst got her acclaim from photographing the Antifa massacre when she was younger, so, which I loved as a pinpoint that then we don't dive into at all. But that, so clearly there's something was happening like 10 years ago. There was either the Antifa were massacring or being massacred. And that kind of started the brewing to make, what's his name? Nick Offerman get a third term. So there's like reasons there. It's just, it is kind of this, which felt much more for the director than for the plot, but to be like, this can apply to everyone. Like, violence breeds more violence. Mm-hmm. You know, violence makes us into the kind of sickos that Jake Gyllenhaal was already in Nightcrawler, you know?
Right, right.
Or they're sort of like, the media is the bad guy. And here it's like, the media isn't really bad because also there's not any understanding of like where the media is going.
Right, why are they like non-affiliated media? Yeah, it's, well, like, who are you with? You're just in a press van, a van that says press.
Reuter.
They're Reuters. That was funny. I forgot about that.
They're not, but it doesn't go anywhere, and you don't see, they don't have service, so they're not like tweeting it, you know. So that was sort of a missing piece.
What is a revolution without Twitter?
And this film really, really investigates that question. Yeah, what is a revolution without Twitter?
It's fucking ass. That's what.
I know. We could do a way more lit revolution. I do believe that.
Literally. Okay. If you had to pick what side you're on, you've got.
Those two?
No, there's like four. There's the factions. I'd go Portland Maoist, hands down.
Portland Maoist is like fan fiction. That's not textual.
I'm fanficking the Portland Maoist. I'm like, I'm not leadership. I'm just like socially adjacent.
Yeah, I mean, maybe be in that town where it's not real. I fucked with their vibe.
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay. Also, why did she have the money to buy a dress?
I know that was really weird. Like, what is money? Why don't you just steal it?
Well, then she was like, oh, because they were trying to buy like gas before, and he was like, your money's not worth a ham sandwich. And they were like, we have Canadian money. Then they're in this country that's pretend, or they're in this town that's pretending like the war is not happening. So they're gonna take your Canadian money. I'm to understand because your American money's not worth anything, or you're ignoring that your American money. It's not worth anything and you're taking it for nothing. Like, what the fuck are you doing? They just like did not think it through. Just
I like
honestly,
that though. It did feel like a little mini Twilight Zone episode in there when they're like, don't look up because there's snipers on every building and that's why things act normal.
I thought that they were going to make Kirsten Dunst and the girl fuck when she was like taking photos and she's like, you look so beautiful, smile.
That's
for
a good
me
question.
Baby
kill fuck Mary top 3 characters.
Kirsten Dunst, number one.
That's not how this game works.
Mary, oh, but she was so in. Is it the character or the actor?
The character, obviously.
Lee. Mary. Kirsten Dunst. I guess. No, she was such a bitch.
Kind of like cranky.
Yeah, but I get that. Fuck Kirsten Dunst's husband.
I don't know if they had a romantic relationship. I thought maybe they were just partners in craft.
That would be so awesome. If that was true, I would stand her. Oh, this is the other thing I wanted to say.
Wait, okay. You mean her real husband? Like the racist guy?
Was he racist? He didn't like, he was anti non-American.
He had a pit full of bodies of people of color. I think he was racist.
Was it people of color? I thought it was just like people. I wasn't seeing color in that. I don't know. No, he looked swaggy in his glasses. I liked it. What is this? This isn't a political statement. And then kill. Oh, you know what? Who I would marry is albino guy.
Okay,
he would
take care of me. Completely negating the the premise of the game. I had three people, but yeah, sure. No, I'll take that.
Go for yours.
I meant like the three main characters.
Oh, I don't know. I'd kill all of them. I thought Kirsten Dunst was stuck in her melancholia era in this.
When they had her, like, looking at the grass. Bathtub scenes. I feel like there were scenes of her like,
oh. Yes, and then her like lying in the grass, like waiting for.
Oh
this.
Yeah, but then she fell asleep. That was cute, sleepy girl. It's too much for her. Yeah. Too much photo taking. Yeah. She is very good at looking like worn out.
If you were to launch a civil war, like act, like if you were to. Is the word galvanize?
Sure, yeah. Galvanize a movement.
Mm-hmm. What would it be?
It's a really good question.
You'd be good at that.
I'd be good at being like a third term president, being like a dictator fascist.
Yeah. Literally.
I feel like I could definitely do some sort of like stylistic motivation, like kind of have uniforms and stuff, do that kind of vibe.
True. Fascist governments
slay.
Tend to slay fashion wise. Wait, who was it? It was Hugo Boss who did the Nazis. That was so fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Is that true? But also, yeah, no, there's a lot. Dior was also involved with the
Yeah,
Nazis
and Chanel.
Too.
Chanel got her perfume from Jews that fucking got.
So, yeah, I'd be like that kind of angle of dictator, I guess.
Yeah, only
like
for the
aesthetics.
Fashion. Yeah.
But it would trickle down into content or whatever the word is. But what about you?
I'd definitely be vengeance oriented, where I'd get too caught up in the nitty gritties of just like offing individuals who are like irrelevant. I know it. I know my heel already. Like that would be it. It would be like, hey, and you know, you gotta be thinking big picture. You can't just be like going after aggressively like people who have done pretty much nothing except be annoying to you. And I'd be like,
all right, well, you're fucking dead too. Yep. Eat this bullet, bitch.
Add your name to
you
the
added
list. That's right. So you better listen to this episode if you don't want your name added to the list, because I'm coming to power in the next 10-15. Watch out.
All right, bye guys.
Bye bye.
Never stop fighting. All we do is talk, switch screens.